This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. We're in the middle of an election forum with candidates in Western Wisconsin's 31st State Senate District. The candidates are Republican Mel Pittman of Plum City, a dairy farmer, and former county supervisor in Pierce County. Also, incumbent State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, a Democrat whose family works on a farm near Alma. Vinehout has represented the mostly rural district since 2007. In the first part of Wisconsin Public Radio's 31st State Senate Forum, the candidates talked about the issue of frac sand mining, a highly contentious issue in many parts of the district. In this part of the forum, they'll talk, among other things, about issues related to nutrient management and how to best handle farm runoff. The forum took place earlier this week at our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in Eau Claire and included questions from callers. Wisconsin Public Radio's Rich Kramer is the moderator.
Pepin County, we are off to, and Paul, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Thank you very much for taking my call. My issue here is on the drug testing of individuals that would receive food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And my question would be to Mr. Pittman, and Senator Vinehout can respond also. But Mr. Pittman, would you also require that farmers, and I am one that goes to FSA and gets state's funds, should we also be drug tested every time we go into the office? And how often would you drug test these people that are getting food stamps? Would this be a monthly thing, yearly thing, biannual? And the same with us farmers. Would it be every time we sign up? Would it be every time we go to the field? Or how often would we drug test the farmers or anyone else that is getting state monies?
Okay, thanks so much, Paul, for the question. I think I'm not sure what the governor's plan is as far as the food stamps and the drug testing, but I think Paul's making what's called the slippery slope argument, that if you do it for this group of people, what's to stop the state from doing it for others?
Well, I believe that it is important that people that are receiving benefits through government programs are doing it in a sense that the dollars are going for the program intended use, not necessarily for other purposes. For a farmer, if you have a CDL, another person, that truck driver, whatever, you have a CDL, you are, I believe it's what they call an at-random drug test. They can stop you at any time within a reasonable amount and say, we need to do a urine sample, whatever the case might be, to do a drug test. That might be the best way of handling it. Just the fact that you may not know exactly when this could happen. And so I think that's something that should be looked at. As far as how far we go with that, I guess I'm not sure at this point how far we need to go with this situation. But it concerns me when the programs that that people are using the funds for the programs in the intended way, not necessarily for others. Purposes.
Senator Vinehout, your thoughts? Do you think it would ever come to that farmers looking for FSA money be drug tested?
Well, Paul has an interesting point. Where do you stop? And that's why I made the comment about CEOs and tax breaks. Right now, we've got an agency in state government that was unable to verify any jobs created in the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Here's a good example of an agency that's not doing what the people set out for and asked it to do, and certainly what the people who voted for it said it would do. So do we drug test CEOs that have tax breaks? Well, of course, everybody would say absolutely not. But if we really want to know if the program is working, then that's why we have the Legislative Audit Bureau. That's why we do the work of the audit committee that I've been involved in for many years. And we look at how well that program is designed. We make sure that there are program integrity people, watchdogs within the program. Good example is Wisconsin Shares, which was a program that helped people with child care when they were trying to get back on their feet. When that program, a $350 million program, passed in the late 90s under Republican rule, it had only one person that was in charge of program integrity, that was in its watchdog, $350 million program. So it wasn't any surprise to me when we found out back in a few years ago that the program had a lot of fraud. And the legislature responded first with an audit, then with three separate bills to deal with that fraud. Absolutely. If there are dollars going out, we need to have people in place that are protecting the people's interest, which is why I've spent so much of my time in Madison working with the Joint Committee on Audit and acting as the steward of the people's money. But drug testing is a solution in looking for a problem.
Since you both are farmers or have been involved with farming in one way or another, I'm interested in getting some input on this. Nutrient management. The St. Croix and Mississippi rivers have a nutrient problem. They're overloaded with phosphorus and nitrogen, much of which comes from farm fields and feedlots. Not the only source by far, but a lot of it. And this has caused an extensive dead zone, you know, where the Mississippi empties into the Gulf. But right now, the state of Wisconsin can't require farmers to build new nutrient management systems without paying a cost share of around 70%. So how do we further control farm runoff on a voluntary basis? Or do you think the state should change some language and take a more active role in regulating and not have it be voluntary? Senator Vinehill.
I just met with the Trumbull County Extension agent just a few days ago, and we had an extensive conversation about this. And the part of the justification for the conversation had to do with what happened in Independence. In Independence, the mayor took a large sum of money for the city as a payment by the sand mine, and he wanted to dredge Bugle Lake. And that was one of his justifications for having the sand mine come into the city of Independence. And both I and the extension agent agreed that this was a bit of a difficult way to resolve a problem that had to do with problems upstream, had to do with the need for structures protecting stream banks, protecting the fields from erosion, and keeping the nutrients on the field where it belonged and not in the stream, and again with the soil. The problem we have is that both the bonding authority for structures to prevent erosion has been whittled away in the last 4 years, and the technical assistance for the people at the counties, the county conservation officers, have been whittled away. The state needs to step up to the plate and adequately fund conservation. And I can think of no better way than to describe what will happen than by talking about the beautiful streams that we have here in western Wisconsin and what we've been able to accomplish when the erosion structures are put in place. Recently, I was just at a opening of a trout stream in Wamandy. And, of course, God created the trout stream long ago, and and we didn't have to worry about him opening it. But the humans cleaned it up. And the cleanup made a huge difference in the fish population. And the local people in Buffalo County are saying, we've got an opportunity to bring in additional dollars to create the kind of agritourism that uses and shares the beauty of the land and the natural resources in a way that doesn't destroy it. And this is an example of why I wrote my alternative budget and where different choices could have been made in the last 4 years with exactly the same money. There were choices that were made by the people who voted for that budget and the governor that had a direct effect on what happens in western Wisconsin. And this is a really good example of programs that had a real effect on what would happen and would have made a difference in whether or not the stream banks eroded and the terraces were put in place and all of the other conservation structures that we've known about and many, many farmers, including my farm, have practiced for many years.
Mel Pittman, your thoughts on this, the nutrient management issue, and I'm sure that you're familiar with it if you've got an active dairy farm.
Yes, we do have a nutrient management plan for our farm, but I guess I would start out on a little different note. Serving on county board for the past 10 years in Pierce County, I've been on the Land Conservation Committee for that number of years too, and so I dealt firsthand with local issues in regard to nutrient management. conservation measures and the opportunity to control erosion. And I believe our best opportunity here is education. That's one of the primary things we worked on in Pierce County is educating the public about what are the resources that are out there that can help control erosion. It was unfortunate in some regards, you know, we had high corn and bean prices here the last couple of years. $7 corn meant there's a lot of ground that got tilled that normally shouldn't have been tilled. Corn was planted fence line to fence line, or maybe even the fence lines came out. And in western Wisconsin here, we had severe soil erosion that occurred when we had some horrific amounts of rainfall, 5 inches or more, on an open field. And so that really opened up our eyes again to what are the issues we have to deal with here. Whether it's structures or it's, you know, the nutrient management part of it is let's keep the nutrients on the field rather than in the stream. And so those are things that I think are important. And we need to work in those areas. There is funding out there. I testified before the last budget when they went around the different parts of the state, and I believe it was up in New Richmond, I believe was where they were at. I testified they're asking for the state to continue to fund kind conservation efforts. And the state did pick up and fund more than what they originally planned to. The state legislature did that. So we are getting funds out there. But one of the things at the local level, at the county level in particular, some of the scrutiny that's going on as far as the funds going to the counties is that a number of the land conservation departments have gotten merged into other departments within at the county level, so they're not a separate entity. And what the state has said, if you can show that those funds that we offer you for land conservation purposes, they have to be used for land conservation. They can't be used in another area within that county in a different department. And that's where some of the scrutiny, and I believe that's where Senator Vinehout is talking about some of the lack of funding or changes in funding, because those funds need to go directly to land conservation purposes and not for other purposes, whether it be land management or parks or other things like that. But getting back to the nutrient management portion, we talked a lot about no-till operations and things like that, where you're not disturbing the soil or very little except where you put the seed in the ground. And those are areas where I believe we can help educate the farming community. It's less expensive to put those crops in typically than it is to do a lot of tillage. And with $3 corn right now, there's going to be a lot more farmers opening their eyes. Yes, a lot of soil and nutrients went down the river. It's been going on for a long time. We need to get smarter as an agricultural population out here and realize that we can be more efficient and we can do a better job by protecting our soils and taking care of them.
You're listening to the 31st State Senate District Candidate Forum on Wisconsin Public Radio. They are Mel Pittman. He's a Republican from Plum City running for the 31st State Senate District seat. Kathleen Vinehout is the Democratic incumbent. She's held the seat since 2006. She is from Alma. From Eau Claire, this is Joan. Joan, you're on the air. Thanks so much for calling in. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I'd like to ask both Senator Vinehout and Mr. Pittman as to their thoughts regarding Walker administration's assault on a woman's right to make her own medical decisions and whether government has any business in the examination room with a woman and her physician. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Joan. I believe that could be a reference to the transvaginal ultrasounds or a whole number of issues. And Senator Vinehout, your thoughts?
Yeah, a whole number of issues is exactly the right way to say it. The last several years, we've seen an incredible increase in the number of bills both introduced, debated, and passed that attack women's ability to control what happens to their own body. And this is absolutely horrible what's happened, and it's done for political reasons, and it affects women, and frankly, it affects poor women. It affects women who maybe don't have a doctor, don't have health insurance. Maybe you may have heard recently about one of the few clinics that are left, Planned Parenthood clinics closing in the eastern part of the state, and part of that had to do with the fact that the governor took the funding for women's reproductive health down to about, it cut it by about 94%. It's absolutely an attack on the organizations that are able to provide and have for many, many years provided help to poor women who don't have access to a regular doctor. And it's become, I don't know how to describe it. It's become a horrible situation where women are subjected to procedures that have absolutely no medical need, and the state legislature, the Republicans who voted for this stuff, are voting for political reasons to create life, to create a more difficult life for many women that need access to health care.
Mel Pittman, your thoughts on some of the bills, including, there was the no funding of the Planned Parenthood, and there was also this bill that requires women to seeking an abortion to get an ultrasound, a transvaginal ultrasound first. Do you support those measures?
Yes, I do. I do because I'm a pro-life candidate, and I believe that science has proven, for those that doubt it, in the past, science has proven that life begins at conception. And even though it can put women in a difficult situation, I believe it's important that we protect both life forms whenever it's possible. And so I that's why I stand on that issue. And I think it's important that the ultrasound is just a means by which a woman can see that there is actually a live fetus inside her womb. My daughter actually does that procedure up in the Twin City area. She works there and does that procedure, and it's very interesting. I've seen it done on a person once to see the sonogram.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be moved a little bit at least by seeing that image and knowing that there's something else there. And like I said, even though it can be very difficult for women and they might face tough choices down the road, it's beyond me as a farmer, even someone that works with animals, not saying humans are the same category as animals quite, but to see life born anew again, it's hard for me to see a life destroyed like that. And those are the reasons why I support, the laws that have been passed recently, trying to lessen abortions and trying to help people understand what life is about.
This Senator Vinehill, very quickly.
I have concerns about what my opponent was just talking about, because this is the party of supposedly small government, and small government is in our bedroom, and that's not small government to me. That's big government, way too big.
Mel Pittman.
Well, I'm going to disagree with Senator Vinehall in the sense that what happens in your bedroom is your own business. What happens after that affects other people, and that's where we need to be concerned.
This is related to campaign finance. Last month, a federal court decision struck down Wisconsin's $10,000 individual campaign donation limit for every state office, except governor, I believe. Now, any one person can give unlimited amounts of money to a campaign in Wisconsin. Do you see this as a win for political speech, the argument being speech is money, or a loss for those concerned about the influence of money in politics? And I'll start with you, Mel Pittman.
Well, I haven't seen that ruling. I've been busy trying to run my business and campaign, mm-hmm. So I haven't seen that ruling. But just from what you mentioned this morning, Rich, I guess I would have to look at it in more detail and see what it's all about. I know, for example, in my campaign, we've asked a lot of people for help financially. We have probably close to 250 to 260 individual donors. A lot of them have donated, a small amount, $25, $50, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a few that have donated the maximum, which has been $1,000 per person. But I'm not sure what to think about this one. Like I said, it's pretty new. I haven't had a whole lot of time to think, read it through and see what's there. I am concerned that some individuals might be able to unduly influence elections by being able to contribute too much money.
Senator Vinehout, your thoughts on that decision regarding the campaign limit, the cap?
It is creating a problem. There's certainly the appearance that large outside groups are buying the election, especially the governor's election in Wisconsin. Universally, Republicans, Democrats, Independents that I talk to are very unhappy with the amount of money in politics today. They feel as if corporations do not equal free speech, and that corporations are not people, and that money does not equal free speech. Just to clarify the ruling, it was a ruling on aggregate limits, meaning all put together. So the individual limits on a $1,000 donation per candidate for the state senate, for example, is still in place. But the aggregate limits mean that you can have millions and put the individual limits and put the amount to the individual limit in any number of campaigns that you want. This allows very wealthy people to buy a large number or to have, as they might see, an investment in a large number of campaigns. And I don't have any problem with people being wealthy. I think that, you know, more power to them if they make lots of money. The problem I have is in buying government, and that is wrong, and we need to change our campaign finance laws.
Mel Pittman.
Well, I'd just like to counter Senator Vinehout and the fact that we did a little research, and when she got her campaign contributions, I believe for the last election cycle she was in, 75% of hers came from, or around 75% came from outside this district. So when she talks about buying an election, or, you know, people that have dollars to influence an election, sometimes that can be concerning, too, if the support is coming outside the district for someone that lives in that area.
That might be because when I was running, the last time I was running for a statewide race, if you look at my campaign finance report, you will see a large number of small donors. And that's not true for Democratic candidates or Republican candidates that are running for the state senate. But I have an extraordinarily wide grassroots network. And certainly, if you're running for a statewide race, you're going to bring in donors from all over the state. That's the nature of statewide races.
I believe that was for the last time you ran for state senate, though.
No.
We'll agree to disagree. Very quickly, marriage equality, the Seventh Circuit, again, making a lot of news this year. Struck down, or Judge Crabb in Madison struck down Wisconsin's ban on gay marriage, and I believe the Seventh Circuit affirmed that decision. So, very quickly, we've got very little time left in this hour. Your thoughts on gay marriage, for it or against it? Mel Pittman.
I'm opposed to gay marriage. It's against the laws of God, and it's also morally laws of nature. If people want to have close, friendly relationship with a person of the same sex, there's no problem with that and issues like that. But I believe that marriage is intended to be one man and one woman, and I support what we currently have in the Constitution today.
All right. Senator Vinehout.
You know, this angers me. People should be able to love and marry whoever they do love. And anybody that's a dairy farmer knows that. How do you tell a cow when a cow's in heat? You tell because the other cow is jumping her. So to tell me it's against God and against nature is just like, honey, you haven't been to the barnyard lately.
Candidates in the November 4th general election for the seat in Wisconsin's 31st State Senate District. We heard from incumbent Democrat Kathleen Vinehout of Alma, who has served in the Senate since first winning the election in the fall of 2006. She now seeks a third four-year term. Her Republican challenger is Mel Pittman, a Plum City area farmer and former member of the Pierce County Board of Supervisors. The 31st State Senate District includes all or parts of Trempealeau, Jackson, Buffalo, Pepin, Pierce, Eau Claire, and Dunn counties, and includes the communities of Trempealeau, Galesville, Arcadia, and Black River Falls. The candidates participated in a broadcast forum recorded earlier this week in Wisconsin Public Radio's Eau Claire studios, moderated by WPR's Rich Kramer. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to the candidates' websites and Wisconsin Vote. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.